I don't know. My voice, I don't have a very loud voice, so I'm going to try to maybe get that closer to my mouth. Yeah, so much for setting the bar low. Appreciate that. Kent told me, he said, yeah, I'm going to set the bar real low for you so you'll come out shining, looking like a jewel. That's not the case, but I got to call him Mr. Kent. The man baptized me in the old Regency days. Learned a lot from him in my couple years there while you were the youth minister, so really appreciate your example to me. See Coach Whittle back there, big impact on my life. Coached me in football while I was at Mobile Christian. I appreciate that. Terry as well, coached me in football at Mobile Christian and impacted my life and really part of the reason I became a youth minister. I'm not a trained youth minister, so I apologize. I am a forester by nature and somehow found my way into the youth ministry and the coaching and all, and a lot of people here, a lot of you I've known for a long time. So appreciate you, appreciate your example. Today we want to talk about, I was actually able to even pick my topic, and then I got to thinking about it, and I said, that's kind of incorrect. I want to talk about spiritual growth in an infertile world, but I don't believe the world's infertile. I believe the world is a very fertile place. There are people growing. Tim Tebow said one time, I was working at Westervelt, which is a place where I was employed before here, and we spent a day in a conference room watching the Chick-fil-A leader cast, and it was maybe 2013 or so. Tim Tebow comes on there, and they had CEOs from all over the world, motivational speakers, and Tim Tebow says, every one of you in this audience, every one of you listening, we were listening there in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, he said, every one of you is a leader. You may not be a good leader, but you're a leader. You're leading somebody. All right, so every one of us, we live in a fertile world. People are growing all around us. Everybody's growing. Weeds grow, right? Weeds grow in all of our gardens, but it's not what we want there. So we're not spiritually growing, trying to spiritually grow in an infertile world necessarily, but rather spiritually growing in an unproductive world. Infertile, when you think of it in the land aspect, is unable to sustain crops or vegetation. Infertile is unable to sustain crops or vegetation. This world is able to sustain the wheat and the weeds, right? So it's not necessarily infertile, but it's unproductive. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Productive growth. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We understand the concept of growth when we talk about physical development of humans, and we know that's important. Mr. David mentioned my son Grayson. My son Grayson is back here in the very far classroom on the right, down the side to my left here. He's a year old, really a year and a month and a few days old, and the kid's not walking yet, right? So I don't know what his problem is, but he was a late developer in the crawling stage for whatever reason. I guess we just hold him too much. Well, he's not walking. That's okay right now, right? I mean, some kids maybe by the, 13, 14, 15, 16 months, maybe he will start walking one day. If he's not walking by the age of 2, 3, or 4, we may have a developmental problem, right? So we understand that. We understand it when we talk about physical development of humans. We know why it's important. Spiritual growth is a similar concept, but it's far more important. Spiritual growth, 3 points. You can write these down, take notes, whatever. Three quick points. Spiritual growth that leads to greater service to and for Christ is a must. It's not an option. Spiritual growth that leads to greater service to Christ, productive growth, is a must. It's not an option. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. I know Mr. Kent read this to us as well. Be no longer children, but grow up in Christ, essentially. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 tells us, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, for your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, we see that Paul prayed for their love to abound more and more. The Bible emphasizes growth, spiritual growth that leads to a greater service in Christ. And for Christ, to Christ and for Christ, is a must. It's not an option. Spiritual growth is also a lifelong journey, right? Physical growth takes time. You've got to crawl before you can walk. You've got to take baby steps before you can take real good steps, 3 and 4 steps, 5 and 6 steps before you're standing and walking properly, and you've got to walk before you can run. Spiritual growth is a lifelong journey. When we are productive for Christ, it's when we become reproductive for Christ. So spiritual growth is not a must, but it's an option. Let's dive into that. Luke chapter 13, if you want to turn there, we'll see the parable of the unproductive fruit tree or the unproductive fig tree. Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 6. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" Unproductive growth. But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." The unproductive fruit tree, the unproductive fig tree here angered its owner, right? It angered the property owner. It bore no fruit. What good is a fruit tree if it doesn't bear fruit? It's useless, correct? It's doing nothing but taking up nutrients from other trees, right? So what use is a fruit tree that doesn't bear fruit? What use is a Christian that doesn't bear fruit? And it was all take and no give. It was soaking up the nutrients that were available to other plants. It was using them but not doing anything with them. That's the squeaky wheel. That's the squeaky wheel Christian. That's the one that that is all take but no give. That wants everything but doesn't give of their time, give of their energy, give of their effort. Talking about spiritual growth here. Individually, we've got to get ourselves right before we can go and be productive in an unproductive world. The expression, use it or lose it, I believe is a biblical term. You know, it applies to other areas of life too. A well-built house, the best-built house, if you don't live in it, if you don't use it, it's going to fall apart. Right? The best car, the nicest truck, if you park it in your garage and never drive it, there's going to be all kinds of mechanical problems. Houses are meant to be lived in. Trucks and cars are meant to be used. Right? Our talents are meant to be used. If you don't use it, you lose it. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30 shows us that, right? We've got three men that were given talents by their master. A five-talent man, a two-talent man, and a one-talent man. A five-talent man goes and trades and makes five more talents. Two-talent man goes and does the same thing, doubles his talents. The one-talent man, scared, lazy, slothful, servant, goes and buries it. Unproductive growth. Doesn't use it wisely. It's ripped from him. It's given to someone else. We must use what God has given us. If we don't, we run the risk of losing our productivity as disciples. Our effectiveness in life is dependent on the proper use of God's blessing. Neglecting what we've been giving or squandering God's provisions places us in a dangerous territory. Spiritual growth, development that leads to greater service to and for Christ, is a must. It's not an option. Spiritual growth, our spiritual growth is a must. It's not an option. Fruit tree bears fruit. Servants of God, we bear fruit. Right? There's two tests that you can give a fruit tree. And they're easy. Listen, I'm a simple-minded person, okay? I'm not a trained youth minister. I'm not a trained minister. I'm simple-minded. You go up to a fruit tree. Number one, is it bearing fruit? Number two, what's the quality of its fruit? We plant a garden up here, the youth group, and some men around this congregation plant a garden so we can distribute the harvest of it to members here, to visitors, to shut-ins, to the community, wherever we can find somebody who may be in need. We plant tomato plants. Anybody ever planted tomato plants? Right? They produce a very good-looking tomato. The blossom is about to fall off, and then all of a sudden the bottom starts rotting off. Blossom end rot. You ever had blossom end rot on your tomatoes? Well, that fruit tree's producing the fruit, right? But what's the quality? The quality of that tomato good? What do you do with yours? I throw them down. Let the birds eat them. Right, I don't try to savor that. I don't try to save anything from that tomato. Right, that fruit tree is producing fruit, but the quality is terrible. Correct? So, two tests. Is the fruit tree bearing fruit? And then what is the quality of its fruit? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Can we say those together? We don't have to say them that fast. I may not remember if I don't say them that fast. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Two tests of a fruit tree. Are you bearing fruit? And what's the quality of your fruit? Fruits of the Spirit are all those nine things. Are you bearing fruit? What's the quality of them? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement or to grow your faith with virtue, your virtue with knowledge, your knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing and are growing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is growth. There is fertile ground that we live on. It's just a matter if you're productive or unproductive. Spiritual growth is also a lifelong journey. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. You're fully, thoroughly equipped for every good work. James 1, 23 and 25. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. We don't need to be only hearers. We need to be doers. Spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is a lifelong journey. A few points here. You must desire to grow. We must have that desire to grow. Every child desires to grow, correct? Physically. Right? I want to grow up to be like mommy. I want to grow up to be like daddy. I want to grow up to be like LeBron James. I want to grow up to be like Odell Beckham Jr. I know you may not know who those people are. Maybe you do. Odell Beckham Jr., the guy graduated from LSU, wide receiver, plays for the New York Giants. In his pregame warm-up, makes all these incredible, ridiculous catches with one hand. He's got huge hands. Okay? Terry and I coach at 5th and 6th grade football team this year. It was a 4th, 5th, and 6th. Great football team at Mobile Christian. Elementary kids. What do they always want to do? They want to do the Odell. They want to go up and catch the ball with one hand, and their hands are this tall, right? This long. Their fingers aren't long enough to catch the football. But everybody wants to catch the ball with one hand. Why? Because they aspire to grow and to be like Odell Beckham. People are leaders in this world. It may not be good, but everyone is a leader. Everyone can impact. So many of you have impacted my life in a positive way, thank goodness. Right? Kids say, I can't wait till I'm 16 so I can drive. I can't wait till I'm 18 so I can vote. Kids have that desire to grow physically. We should have that the same desire as Christians to want to grow. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Grayson, again, a little over a year old. Every morning after he gets ready for school, we go downstairs and start to pour milk in that bottle. Nothing is going to get in his way of getting that milk bottle. And if anything does, he's going to cry like a little girl, or like a little baby. Right? Nothing is getting in his way. He says, I want that milk. I desire it more than anything in the world right now. You give it to me, I'm happy. Right? We've got to be the same way as Christians, that we desire, especially in our infancy as Christians, and I know that's really not the case here. We've got to desire the pure milk of the Word, that we can grow by it. We must not only desire it, but we also must maintain that desire to grow. More, 2018, Azalea City, we have set out a challenge that we are going to desire to grow more as a congregation. Desire to grow more individually. Our youth group theme this year is forward motion. The idea that one is always greater than zero, right? That is, again, simple-minded. It's an easy concept to grasp. There is no one is maybe greater than or equal to zero. No, one is always greater than zero. Doing something for Christ, doing something to grow, is always better than doing absolutely nothing. The idea that as a baby we crawl before we can walk, Grayson's at least pulling up on stuff. He'll shuffle side to side a little bit. One day maybe he'll let go. Maybe he'll stand up on his own. Maybe he'll start to take baby steps. All right, we don't just start growing by leaps and bounds initially. We have to take the baby steps first. We have to desire. We have to have the idea that we are point A. Jesus Christ is at point B. And I've got to do whatever I can to get from point A to point B. Whether that's baby steps, whether that's leaps and bounds, whether that's crawling, do what I can every single day. At least doing something to be more like Jesus. Because until I get to the point B where Jesus is, where I'm perfect like Him, I'm not done growing. We have to have that desire to grow and maintain that desire to grow, no matter what age we are, no matter what stage in your Christian life that you're in. Second, we need nourishment. We need nourishment, spiritual food from God's Word. Milk's great for a while, but Grayson can't live on milk the rest of his life. He's got to start eating real food, which he does. He eats like a champ. Maybe that's why he doesn't walk. He weighs too much. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We've got to be ones that desire spiritual growth so much that we are diving into our Bible. These are obvious, right? I'm not going to stun you with my Bible knowledge. I'm not going to show you anything that you don't know already. I'm just going to try to be something like Barnabas. I'm going to try to encourage you. I'm going to try to encourage you that no matter what age or stage you are, that you've got to grow. Because spiritual growth that leads to service to and for Christ is a must. It's not an option. Spiritual growth is a lifelong journey. We don't get to a point where we stop growing, do we? Pine trees don't, and I'll tell you that in a minute. We need that nourishment. Spiritual enrichment series. This is fantastic, but guess what? We have a spiritual enrichment series every time the doors to our congregation are open. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever it is, any time that you have an opportunity to go and to be enriched and to enrich others and to encourage and edify other people and to grow yourself, you need to take advantage of that. Spiritual growth is a lifelong journey. You've got to exercise and practice. You've got to train yourself for godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. Anybody work out in here? He does. Right? We go to the gym to work out, to use, hopefully, to grow our muscles. You've got to execute the game plan. Right? You can't just establish it and not execute it. You won't be successful. You've got to know what to do, but then you've got to put it into practice. You've got to execute the game plan. Then also, you've got to be patient. I just need to be patient with Grayson, too. I need to quit jumping on so much for crawling so late in life. I didn't think he'd ever crawl. He started crawling. Now I don't think he'll ever walk. Right? We've got to be patient. Babies crawl before they walk. They walk before they run. Okay? Everybody does. There was a kid who was sitting at the table with his grandfather. He had his Bible out reading. The grandfather didn't. He said, "Papa, you know, I read my Bible like you. I look up to you. I want to be like you. I read this Bible, but as soon as I close it, I forget. I don't really comprehend what I'm reading." Grandfather kind of chuckles. He gives him the coal basket. He says, "Hey, son, run down to the creek, put some water in this basket and run it back up to me." The kid runs down to the creek, scoops the basket down in the water, picks it up, runs back into the house. When he gets back, obviously there's no water in it. A little frustrated. Papa laughs, said, "Just got to run a little faster this time." So the kid goes down there, he says, "Man, I want to really run fast." Comes back, runs as fast as he can, right? Gets back in the water. Is out of the basket. Very frustrated this time. He says, "I'm going to give it one more chance." Goes down there, fills it up, runs back. The basket's empty. He says, "Papa, this is useless. This water's not staying in the basket." Papa said, "But look at the basket. What was full of coal, what was full of the ashes of the coal is now clean." It takes time. You've got to be patient. Reading Scripture in your infancy as a Christian, maybe even later life, sometimes it doesn't jump out to us. You've got to be patient. Got to be patient working with people. Sometimes the white crayons, the neglected, sometimes the ones we minister to don't take hold of what we say the first time. We're not in a society where we beat people over the head with the Bible and then they suddenly absorb all the words of Christ and they become a Christian. It takes time. We've got to be patient. We've got to establish relationships. It's difficult. When we are productive for Christ, then we become reproductive for Christ. Matthew chapter 13, parable of the weeds. You want to turn there? I'm not going to read the whole thing for time's sake, but I have till 10:20. I should know that. When we are productive for Christ, then we become reproductive for Christ. There was a farmer sows his wheat seeds in a field. At night, the enemy comes, sows the weeds. Wake up, everything's growing together. The laborers there, the workers are, hey, should we go and pull those weeds up? Because somebody came and sowed those weeds at night. Farmer says, no. Let them grow together. One day when they reach that maturity, when the day comes, we'll pick the weeds, we'll burn them, pick the wheat, we'll bind them together, we'll store them in the barn. Jesus being the landowner there, right? You have gardens. You've planted gardens. You have weeds grow, especially here in the South. I'm sure South Arkansas is the same, but definitely here in South Alabama, we have a lot of weeds. Right, and you can do what you can to remove those weeds. But you ever weeded a flower bed or weeded a garden and accidentally cut one of your squash plants? Because if you hadn't, I need you to come help me. Because I'll pull weeds, I accidentally pull a squash plant, or I'll knock an okra plant over or something. Right? So Jesus says, no, don't pull the weeds up, because in doing so you might pull the weed up with it. Let them grow together. Let them grow together. It'll be all right. We'll harvest it when it comes time. You know, I understand this. I know that a squash plant out in that garden is not going to influence a weed to become a squash plant. It'd be really cool. Really cool if it could do that. I know that's not going to happen. But as a wheat, as a Christian, can't I influence a weed to become wheat? Can't I? Don't you think that's part of the reason that Jesus said to leave the weeds and the wheat together? So that we can have a positive influence on the world around us, on the unproductive world around us, to maybe become more productive for Christ. As the saying goes, we have met the enemy and he is us. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. There's nothing that can keep us from doing the work of Christ except ourselves. Before you ever win the public arenas of life, the battle of the public arenas of life, you must first win the private battles within yourself. All change begins with you. Spiritual growth begins with you. It's a determination, it's an attitude that I'm going to go out and I'm going to be the most productive, most influential person that I can for the positive, for the positives of the kingdom. You know, Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 2 says, and he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. Thus says the Lord God, and whether they hear you or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. I hope that people will understand that a man of God or a woman of God has been among them when they see the way that we live and act in our world. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, nor afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. And you will speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And we know that there was a scroll that appeared to Ezekiel, and he digested the words of God so that he could be fully, thoroughly equipped to go out and to preach, right? To bring people to Jesus Christ. And then we see in chapter 3, right, Ezekiel took that challenge. He went and did that, and I think in doing so, you see all those families that are named that are building the wall together, right? Even when they were facing persecution, they never quit building. All the families that were represented, probably the ones that would have been neglected otherwise, Ezekiel took the challenge from God, digested the words, became where he was spiritually growing, and went on to be a great influence. Maybe even influence weeds to become wheat. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? And you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, our citizenship, we see, is in heaven. We're residents on earth. We're supposed to live among the weeds. We're not baptized and put on some remote island where we can just live as free Christians, never persecuted, right? We are living amongst weeds so that we can hopefully have a great impact on their lives. You've weeded flower beds, correct? Before, somebody? Please tell me somebody in here has weeded a flower bed before. Weeds have a shallow root system, don't they? You're not pulling up this big long tap root, right? They're shallow rooted. They're there just to steal the surface nutrients from that plant. Okay? It's not something that's really hard to pull up. But how about your crop trees? Think about this in the life of a pine tree, and I'll show you some life stages of it here in a second. But crop trees, your major plants, they develop a tap root, right? They're actually going further down in the ground, getting the nutrients that are more available to them where the weeds aren't wanting to go. They're being productive in their growth. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. My favorite passage in the Bible. I guess my forestry background. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. That's how I aspire to be. Like a tree planted by water. I send my roots out by the streams. I don't care when heat comes. I don't care when drought comes, because my leaves will always remain green. I will never cease to bear fruit. Ephesians chapter 3, 17 and 18. We must be rooted and grounded in love so we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay, I don't know if I have a little laser on this. Yep, you can't see it. All right, very bottom of the screen. See grass all around. You can see a pine tree. Longleaf pine tree. Okay? When it starts out, it's journey in life. When it sprouts out of the ground, it's in what they call a graft stage. It will sit in this stage for 5 to 7 years. It will sit there. You know what it's doing? It's developing a root system. It's developing a foundation. It's making sure that it is strong in the ground so it can face the storms and the trials and the struggles in life, and it won't topple over. It's exactly what we do as Christians, right? Think about the parable of the sower. There are seeds that are sown on the path that hear the word of God, don't understand it, never take hold of it, reject it. Right? There are seeds that are sown on the rocky ground that take hold, but they're kind of like the weeds. They're shallow rooted. Trials come. They don't spend a lot of time really trying to grow, sitting in the grass stage, establishing a foundation. They spring up. Heat comes. Drought comes. They burn up. They're gone. You got the ones that are sown among the thorns that grow up, sprout up, probably maybe have a decent root system, but then love the world too much. Don't become productive for Christ, but unproductive. They're choked out. Cares the world get them. And the ones sown on the good soil that sit there, maybe in the grass stage, maybe they develop their foundation, right? Young Christians, this is it. The world is around them. The world's trying to choke them out. Satan's trying to pull them back to his side. No, don't become a Christian. That's stupid. You can't have fun. Sits there for a few years, grows. This is where we need to make sure that we are impacting our world around us too. Not the same exact pine tree, but that pine tree did the same thing. After 5 to 7 years, in 1 year, a tree can grow up to 6 feet tall. In 1 year, a longleaf pine tree can grow up to 6 feet tall. Why? Because it established the lateral roots so it can soak up all the water and nutrients it can that is available to it on the surface. Also, sending the tap root and other larger lateral roots down so it's structurally strong. It's established its foundation. It's tapping into that water that when heat comes, its leaves will never remain green. It won't cease to bear fruit. Then eventually comes like this. Grows into a stand of productive trees. And you know the amazing thing about these? Is here's a tree that's all by itself. I stole this from Shutterstock. Can you see that? I guess I have to give them credit since I used it. They obviously wanted you to know it came from them. So I'm letting you. But it's the best picture I could find. Sorry. Credit all to Shutterstock. You hear that? If anybody works for them. I don't even know what they are. They do pictures. All right, this is what we call a field pine, right? It's a pine tree out in the field. Is it growing? Yeah. Is it producing fruit? Yeah. Is it productive? No. What is pine tree made for? Right? It's planted to make lumber. That tree's not going to make lumber. Look at how many limbs it has. You don't want to build your house with lumber from this tree, I promise you. Okay? It will break and buckle at the slightest wind, okay, with all the knots in it. That tree right there is growing, but not really in a productive way. Satan does this to us. Satan tries to isolate us, tries to make sure that the sins that we're struggling with, he tells us we're the only ones struggling with that. He makes us think that so that we isolate ourselves. We get away from other Christians. This is how we should be. You know why? Because when pine trees grow like this in the stand, you see what straighter they are? That's productive growth. That's productive growth. You see the weeds all around it. Weed is defined as something you don't want in an area you don't want it. Okay? So it's just a plant that's undesirable. Those weeds around are still competing with those pine trees for nutrients. But has it affected them? Has it really impacted their overall growth? No. Because they send that taproot. Because they have the great foundation. Because they have spent their life trying to spiritually grow. And the great thing about these pine trees here, when we grow, and this is a church right here, this is us. When we grow together like this, we grow a lot stronger, we grow a lot taller, we grow more to the S-U-N sun. These trees, we grow to the S-O-N sun, as spiritual trees. These pine trees graft their roots together. So number one, they're stronger together. Number two, they're also able to share available water and nutrients. That's the same thing we do. We've got to graft our roots together into the same foundation, Jesus Christ, right? So we can productively grow in a spiritual way in an unproductive world so that we can influence the world around us. Back to Luke chapter 13. You know, the unproductive fruit tree angered its owner. The unproductive Christian angers God. The landowner wanted to destroy the tree, remember? The farmer wanted to fertilize the tree. God's just nature wanted to destroy us. Jesus said, let me take their place. Jesus said, let me take the time to fertilize them so that they can try to grow to be more like me. There was a salesman whose car broke down on the country road. He stops by a farmer's house. He comes in. The farmer invites him in. He uses the phone to call to have his car towed. As the car is being towed away, the farmer invites him to stay for dinner. Supper. I know dinner to a lot of us is lunch. Supper. Okay, and as the meal is put on the table, the family bows their head and they pray. After blessing the food, the salesman picks his head up and he says, you know what? I find prayer to be unfruitful. I find prayer to be a good waste of energy. I believe we only get what we work for. The farmer said, is that so? Well, that's interesting. We've got some tenants living out on our farm that think the same way. It doesn't do any good to try to change their minds either. They think just like you do. They only think about what they want. The salesman replied, those are my kind of people. Mature, progressive, hardworking. No, said the farmer, those are my hogs. Prayer, spiritual growth, anything that we can do to grow to be more like Jesus Christ is productive. Some people see it as a waste of time, a waste of energy. But we know that we grow by it. We know that that pleases God. Spiritual growth that leads to a greater service to and for Christ is a must. It's not an option. Spiritual growth is a lifelong journey. When we are productive for Christ, then we become reproductive for Christ. That same pine tree you saw in the grass stage, you saw as it shot up 6-7 foot tall, you saw as it grew up into this stand, starts to produce fruit, starts to produce pine cones. Okay? This came from a longleaf pine tree from some land that we managed when I worked at Westervelt. And as this fruit off of this pine tree, the cone, opens up, every single one of these little conelets has a seed in it. And every one of these little seeds, you see, because for the first so many years of that pine tree, it's a reproductive type of growth, a growth that is all the nutrients, all the photosynthesis, the light energy that's converted into food for that plant, for that tree, is used for that tree to grow. As it gets older, as it gets to the end of life, it realizes, and this is amazing how God created pine trees to do this, oak trees as well. It realizes that, you know what, I'm towards the end of my life, I'm using all my nutrients, all my energy, all my photosynthesis, all the food that I get into leaving my legacy. You're there now, right? I'm there. I've got two kids. I'm thinking about what am I going to leave for my two kids, even though they're 3 and 1. You're there with kids and grandkids, maybe some with great-grandkids. It's all about what am I going to leave for the next generation. So we manage trees in a sustainable way, providing for the generation for our needs while leaving some for the next generation. It's how we manage our natural resources, right? In a sustainable way. So that pine tree goes from using everything available to it to grow itself. An understanding towards the end of life, and I'm going to use all my energy. You'll see them. You ride down the road, you'll see a tree full of pine cones, like more pine cones than needles on the tree. Guess what? The tree's about to die. The tree understands that I've got to do everything that I can to leave my legacy. I've got to do everything that I can to produce for the next generation. And that tree will produce this cone, which I don't know, 100, maybe 100 something, 100 plus conelets on here. Every single conelet has a seed. You've seen them like little helicopters. When you're a kid, you always play with them. Right? When this conelet opens up and when these seeds start to go, they'll fly all over. They can fly, you know, 100, 200 feet, 300 feet maybe if it's really windy. It starts to influence. See my grandfather back there. 82 years old. Super man. Hero in my life, right? He goes to the gym a couple times a week. You know what he's doing? Trying to maintain his health. I go to the gym a couple times a week trying to find muscles I've never seen. I've never had muscles. Don't know really what they look like. It's a different stage of growth. But I know my grandfather's worked really hard to leave a legacy for me, for my cousins, for my sisters, for my kids. Right? He's put a lot of energy, and I hear him say a lot of times that the best decision we'll ever make is that concerning our relationship with Jesus Christ. And he wants his entire family to be Christians. He wants his entire family to meet back up in heaven one day. He's providing the legacy. You're doing the same thing. It's amazing how the pine tree is able to grow through life, and it represents us as Christians as well. We go through the grass stage where we're competing, we're fighting tooth and nail, trying to establish our foundation, trying to understand what it means to be a Christian, what it means to live like a Christian. And then once we get that great foundation, we shoot up out of our grass stage. Then we start to really look different. Right, we look different in this world. And as we continue to grow, we grow up together. We graft our roots together. We have this great foundation. We're spiritually growing. We start growing to the S-O-N, son. And we start producing fruit. You know a fruit tree by its fruit. You know a fruit tree by the quality of its fruit. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control. We're talking about being one in a broken world. We're talking about ministering to those who are neglected. We're talking about ministering to the people that don't think or act or look the same that we do. We've got to first take care of ourselves so that we can be prepared, fully equipped. And God's given us every opportunity to be fully equipped to go and be spiritually fit, spiritually sound in an unproductive world. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, thank you for spiritual enrichment. Thank you for opportunities like this where we can come and learn more about your word and learn more how to apply your word to our lives. Thank you so much for all the men and women here, Father, the ones that have had such a great impact on my life and on the life of so many others. Father, I pray that it will be our desire to grow spiritually. I pray that it will be our desire to continue to grow and understand that our spiritual life, our spiritual growth is an absolute lifelong journey. I pray that we're in it for the long haul. Father, I pray that we are using the talents and abilities that you have blessed us with to bring blessing to other people, to bring honor and glory to your name. Help us to be one. Help us to be unified. Help us to understand what it means to be a Christian in a broken and a sinful and a sensitive world in which we live. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who makes all things possible. Thank you for the hope of eternal life that we have. Thank you for the love demonstrated for us, even though we're unlovable people. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.